It's interesting hearing the teenagers saying, shh, isn't it? Us adults aren't used to that at all. Good evening. Glad everybody is here that could be here for our prayer and praise service. We have a lot of different people that are going to be involved tonight, and I'll just kind of give you the quick rundown. I won't spend very much time up here at all. We're going to start off with two songs that are going to be led by Jeremy Morris, a member at Murray Road. And then we're going to have a prayer that's offered by C.J. Little of the Lone Jack Congregation. Then we're going to have a reading by Logan Bown of the Excelsior Springs Congregation. And then we'll have two songs by Todd Griffin from Martinsville, Indiana. And then we'll have our first lesson, which will be by Colin Wright. Colin is from the Lawrence Congregation, Lawrence, Kansas. And then we're going to have another prayer, a prayer for the church by Dennis Stanley of Murray Road. And then a reading by Jared Smith from Carrollton, Missouri. Then two more songs by Jake McClung from the Excelsior Springs Congregation. Then our second lesson by Kirk Ford of the Lone Jack Congregation. And then he'll offer the invitation, and I'll have the invitation song and then a few announcements. So we are glad you are here, and I'm anxious to get started. So, Jeremy?
You want to grab your maroon thing, Songs of Faith and Praise? 578.
578 in the Songs of Faith and Praise. I know they're limited, so if you want to find a copy, I'm going to give you a little bit. All right, since the first prayer is going to be a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, I thought it'd be good for us to go ahead and sing about that. So 578, we'll sing all four verses. We will glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord of all the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the Lord of kings.
And for this, let's go ahead and sing verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. 1, 2, 5, and 6.
Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the Lord.
Sing alleluia to the Lord.
pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we are able to gather here on this beautiful night to learn more about you, Lord. We're thankful for this fellowship of this service tonight and this meeting this week of all these teens being able to meet from all around the country to learn more about you, Lord. We're so blessed. Lord, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross for all our sins, so we could have eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Today we'll be reading James 1, verses 12 through 27. James 1, verses 12 through 27. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved children. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful hearer but doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Next two selections will come from the Red Book. Sacred Selections, Red Book. 159. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Friend so true, so patient and so kind, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Everything I need, in him I always find, he's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost. but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. He is always near to comfort and to cheer. He's a wonderful Savior to me. He forgives my sins. He dries my every tear. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Back, number 619. 619. Since 619. Since Jesus came into my heart. 619.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea. Came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. Came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since
I haven't prepared a long sermon, but that's kind of a good thing because I have a sinus infection right now, so. My topic is, don't believe everything you think. Some philosopher said that, but I don't think his name was really worth remembering. You see, we seem to think we're pretty smart. We're really knowledgeable. We also seem to think we can solve all our problems on our own. We think we've achieved quite a lot. We're really on top of things. We think we are, anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in his age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So are we really the ones on top of things here? No, we're not. Not as much as we'd like to think, anyway. I'm not saying we're unintelligent by any means. We've certainly achieved a lot as a species. What I'm saying is we think we know more than we actually do. And you have to watch that tendency because that's really what gets you into trouble. Consider Saul, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting in verse 8. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattering from him, so Saul said, bring the burnt offerings here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal. And I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So due to Saul thinking he knew best, he went against God's commandment and it cost him his kingdom. Of course, he brings up his justifications. We all do that whenever we mess up. And don't try to deny it. I'd certainly be lying if I said I haven't tried to justify something that wasn't very intelligent on my part. But at the time, no one considers whether their action is really justifiable. And the more you fortify this foolish action with your own thought processing, the harder it is to see your fallacy. If tendencies like that aren't stopped, you aren't giving yourself a good foundation as a Christian. Sin. That's definitely something we try to justify. In the heat of the moment, anyway. You know, it's just one little lie. Nobody will mind if I say just one little lie. That seems to be the sin we can always be found guilty of. You know, the average person lies 2 to 3 times in just a 10-minute conversation. And I think I can guess the first lie. Someone says, how are you? And you'll say, oh, I'm good. I'm doing just fine. So it's really not that hard. In fact, it's too easy, but life isn't about being easy. That's the concept that I struggle with. I try to find the path of least resistance in everything. and that isn't always a good idea. But as much as I say that to myself, I still try to justify my foolishness. So we may think we know a lot, but in comparison to the perfect knowledge of God, we know very little. And to rely solely on your own knowledge would be a disastrous thing, because it definitely can't save your soul. I'll close now with Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And so, in the 20 seconds it took to read that, it said my thought much better.
So we'll now have a prayer for the church. Father in heaven, as we come together here this evening, as I stand before this large group of young people who have come from throughout the country to get to know each other better, to learn more about you, we thank you so much for this institution that you gave us, the church. We thank you that you didn't leave us to try to serve you alone, that you knew we needed support from each other, that we needed everyone in the church's perspective and what we can learn from seeing what they go through, from knowing that they deal with the same temptations that we do. Help us to share with each other, to build each other up, to be willing to open up to each other so that we can get that strength, that support, that help that we need, that you designed into this institution. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for the love you had for us, being willing to send him to this earth to die on the cross. We thank you that he lived a life as that faithful high priest, that he went through all the things that we have to go through, and that as the head of the church, we can look to him as someone who understands our needs, understands what we go through. We thank you for this time and place that we live in this country, with the freedom that we have, that the church can meet without fear of being molested from the outside. We're mindful that that isn't the case everywhere in the world. It hasn't been the case throughout most of history. We pray for those who don't have that freedom, but they still serve you. We pray for the church in those places that you would give them strength, that you would give us opportunity and a willingness to reach out and help when we can. And Lord, we pray that you would extend that freedom that we have here in this country for as long as you will, and help us to never take that for granted and to use that as an opportunity to allow the church to grow, to allow us to reach out to the world, to not waste that freedom, that wonderful opportunity that you've given us here in this country. And we pray, Lord, that if those freedoms are taken away, that you will give us the strength through each other to still desire to serve you, to not deny you, to not deny your son. We thank you for this meeting here. We ask that you be with the young people who are here and help them to build friendships, to be uplifted and strengthened, and that they can go out from here and continue to serve you throughout their lives and to be an example, to be a light in their communities as they go back. We thank you for the safety in bringing everyone here, and we pray for your will that they have safety as they return back to their homes. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Good evening. Tonight, I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth the rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Good evening. Be in the Red Book, number 81. 81, Lord, send me.
There is much to do, there's work on every hand. Hark the cry for help, thunder ringing through the land. Jesus calls for rivers, I must act if they. What will thou, O Master, hear and I send thee?
sometimes you just get too into it, and then halfway through the course, you forget which verse you're on. Number 147. 147. Jesus, hold my hand.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer before he stays to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night, blessed Jesus.
Good evening.
Before I get started, before I forget, I'd like to thank the group here at Gregory for hosting this event. It really means a lot to us teens, and I know a lot of work goes into it, and it doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you very much for all of you who put your effort into it. Tonight I'd like to talk about a key element in our salvation, that is baptism. And not to take away from any of the importance of any of the other parts of our salvation, such as believing or repenting, because in my opinion, they're equally as important. But it seems as if baptism is a very controversial topic in, quote, Christianity. Is it there to express to others that we have a faith in Christ? Is it to show God that we're ready to be accepted? Show our Lord that we're ready to be accepted? Or does it really have any purpose at all in our salvation? John 3:5 tells us, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In Mark 16:16, Jesus says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be damned. Acts 2:38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you wouldn't mind, turn with me to 1 Peter 3. I'll be starting in verse 20 and going through 22. 1 Peter 3, 20 through 22. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Now there is an antitype which saves us now, baptism, not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God, through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being have made subject to him. Water baptism is an act of obedience to God. It's a promise from him that just as water washes away the filth from our bodies, Christ's blood will wash away the filth from our souls through baptism. And in this process, all of our sins are forgiven. Similarly, just as Noah and his family were saved by water from the wicked generation, we are saved from sin by water. But wait a second now. I've read Romans 10:13, and it says, Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So isn't that all I have to do? But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. This calling of the name on the name of the Lord must simply mean something else, or else Romans and Matthew would have a contradiction. The outward act of baptism can't really do anything for us, and neither can anything we do as humans. We're all deserving to go to hell, because we, like all others, have sinned. To be forgiven of these sins, we need to accept Christ and show him that we're ready to accept him, to call on his name in some fashion to let him know we're ready to become his servants. In Acts 22:16, Ananias is talking to Paul after he'd lost his sight on his way to Damascus. Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. How I take this is baptism is how we call on the name of the Lord. It's our way of telling Christ that we're ready to accept him. I found a short excerpt from an apologetic book written by a man known as Justin Martyr from the second or third generation church. I'd like to read a little bit of it to you. I will also relate the manner in which we dedicated ourselves to God when we had been made new through Christ, lest if we omit this, we seem to be unfair in the explanation we are making. As many as are persuaded and believe that what we teach and say is true and undertake to be able to live accordingly are instructed to pray and entreat God with fasting for the repentance of their sins that are past, we praying and fasting with them. Then they are brought by us where there is water and are regenerated in the same manner that we ourselves were. For in the name of God, the Father and Lord of the universe, and of our Savior Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit, they then receive the washing of water. For Christ said, Unless you be born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. John 3:5. And for this, we have learned from the apostles this reason. Since at our birth we were born without our knowledge or choice, in order that we may not remain the children of necessity and ignorance, but may become the children of choice and knowledge, and may obtain the water of remission for sins formerly committed, there is pronounced over us, over him who chooses to be over him who chooses to be born again and has repented of his sins, The name of God, the Father, and Lord of the universe, he who leads to the laver of this person that is to be washed, calling on him, God, by this name alone. And this washing is called illumination because he who learns these things is illuminated. It was Christ and the apostles' original plan for baptism. It's man who has corrupted this idea and changed the word of God into what works best for me, or what I think is the easiest and most effective way in my eyes. In talking to friends and coworkers and classmates, I've come up with a couple things that I've found that differ between what man teaches and what God says. For example, the Word of God says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. Man will teach, repent and be baptized because your sins have already been forgiven. The Word of God says, Jesus answered, I tell the truth, unless you be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Man would teach, baptism isn't that important. You really don't need it to be saved. This birth is a natural childbirth. The Word of God says, we are buried, therefore, with him by baptism, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might also walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:4. Man would teach, we are buried, therefore, with him by belief, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might also walk in the newness of life. The Word of God says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, Mark 16:16. Man will teach, he who believes and is saved might want to consider being baptized. I recently had a conversation with a coworker at school about this passage. And when I read it to him, he told me, you can't just take a verse out of context like that. So I said, okay, where would you like to start? And we ended up reading the whole chapter, actually. But we got back to that verse, and it finished with, but he who does not believe will be damned. And to this he responded with, see, all I have to do is believe, and then I won't be damned. I was confused by this. And I thought about it for a little while and realized Paul is right. We are living in a world of false teachers filling itching ears with fables. And if we can't see that, we need to open our eyes and pay more attention because it's all around us. I remember watching an apologetic film, I guess, that was making a somewhat joke out of a graphite Bible. You know, you just erase the parts you don't want to listen to. And at first it seemed a little bit funny, but it's really not, because so many Christians think this is true. You can just pick the parts you want to listen to and ignore all the parts you don't. It's very sad. And finally, the Word of God says there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4:4-5. Man would teach there are many bodies. Man would teach there are many spirits. Man would teach there are many hopes, many lords, many faiths, and many gods. And man would teach that there are many roads to heaven. We know this isn't the case. Narrow is the way, and few are those who find it. There's only one way. If you're not on that way and you'd like to become one of Christ's servants, or if you are and have lost the track, or if there's anything the church can do for you, please come forward as we sing our invitation song.
O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Why don't you go ahead and be seated for just a second. We do have a few announcements. Thank you to all those that participated. I think we heard a couple of really good lessons tonight. I appreciated them. As far as some announcements, I know that they were wanting me to announce that the services, a reminder about the services for Mike Connor. His visitation is Friday from 6 to 8, and the funeral is Saturday at 10, and both of those are at Floral Hills. Those that are interested in attending that. Also, the Martinsville congregation had asked me to make an announcement about the Martinsville and Chapel Glen combined meeting that they do each spring. It'll be at Bradford Woods. That's usually what they call it, the Bradford Woods meeting. It's May 25th and 26th. Have you yet? April? Oh, you wrote it down wrong? Okay. So it's not the May meeting at Bradford Woods. It's the April meeting at Bradford Woods. April 25th and 26th. Thanks for making me change that. That's good. I wouldn't want anybody to show up in May. They'd be a little late. But if you haven't been out to that meeting, it's really good. It's really good. Also, on a very positive note, I was asked to announce that Donna Walker has found out that her cancer is either in remission or inactive. And that's exactly what she said. She said, the only comment I have is praise God. She said it. I overheard her. She didn't say this to me, but I overheard her say, it's not about me. I didn't do anything. And that's true. So praise God for that. Are there any other announcements that anyone needs to make? Oh, yes. There are several New Year's Eve watches. That's something I was going to announce tomorrow at the during the day, but I'll make that tonight. That's good. I know Excelsior Springs is having one that starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I think Blue Springs is having one. I don't know the time. Does anybody know the time on that one?
I think it's the regular
time. Okay, so maybe like 7, just their normal meeting time on Wednesday night. Are there? Yeah, it is on the board back there. That's the only reason I knew it was going on. Lone Jack is too. What time is Lone Jack's?
A regular meeting at 7.
At 7. And then on. Okay.
Rock Creek in Ottawa.
Excellent. Rock Creek.
Bible study at 7 and then preach some games after.
Okay. Any others? So you don't have any excuse to do anything else but be with brethren tomorrow night. I don't know why you'd want to be anywhere else. Unless you're really tired and you want to sleep, I guess. But if you want to be around people, the brethren's going to be the best place for that. As far as the youth rally, any other announcements we need to make? As far as the youth rally goes, tomorrow morning, 9:30, to those parents, we'll be done about 3:15 to 3:30, and you can come get your kids. And you can take them to a New Year's Eve watch at one of the previously mentioned congregations. Okay? We will need a little bit of help this evening. This is amazing. We've had a really good group of kids. Okay, all we have to say is we need something done, and it gets done. We say we need 6 people to move tables in the basement, and we've got 12 that show up. So that's great. So we do need, though, some people to help move some tables. Oh, it's done? Oh, it's done. Awesome. I do need some help. We're going to need to move the podium. And for those that are members here, the guys have helped me several times, and we're careful most of the time. I'm the only one that made a mistake, okay, this year. There's been mistakes other years. Mistake this year was first time I wasn't paying attention. I just knew it needed to be unplugged from down there, so I unplugged it, and then to get to the deal, we tipped it this way. And then we did some cleaning up, and then we tipped it that way. So, but that was not the kid's fault. That was mine. I'm the one that said, lean it this way, and then stuff fell on my head. So, any other announcements we need to make? Okay, Bill Norman is going to offer our closing prayer, so why don't we go ahead and stand for that?
Let me just say, if I might, before we're dismissed, that I think some statements have been made here tonight and this week. Tonight, I think the older folks, and that would be me, and a lot of you, have made a statement to the young people and your support for them. And I think... I hope that they observe this, and then I think a statement has been made this week by the young folks that have come out, and they do this every year, and they just keep coming back, and they keep studying, and they keep growing, and it's a wonderful thing that this takes place here every year. And for Doug and Jill, I greatly appreciate the work that they have done on this year after year. And I think maybe they're getting a little older each year, too. So they appreciate your help when they say we need help and you get it done. I know that they appreciate that. And we really appreciate Doug and Jill's effort in this. And I know there are other folks that have helped with this, too, and I do not know all that have been involved, but I know the Lone Jack, some of the ladies from Lone Jack, and others, too, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but we appreciate all of your efforts, and this does not get done unless a lot of people pull together, and that's been happening year after year, and we thank all of you for that. Let's be dismissed. Kind and gracious Father, we thank you once again that we can come into your presence with our thankful hearts humbly before you, realizing that you are our God and our Father, our Creator, the one who has looked down upon us with your love and mercy and your grace. And Father, for your love that you have extended to us through your Son Jesus, and that you continue to extend to us with the blessings of this life and the blessing of our brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowship that we have with one another. We thank you, Father, for this great blessing, and we pray, Father, that in our lives that we will honor you, that we will show to each other, and that we will show to the world that we are yours. And Father, we know that we have a great hope of eternal life, that we can spend eternity with you one day. Father, we're very thankful for the report that Sister Donna has received concerning her health, and we give you praise and we give you honor for that. We pray, Father, for the family of Mike Connor, that you would be with them and give them comfort. Help them to lean upon you in this time of their sorrow, and that they might be comforted at this time. We pray, Father, for the young people that have gathered here this week, and we ask for your continued blessings to be upon them, and that they might look to you and throughout all of their days and serve you acceptably. We ask, Father, as we depart this place, that you would guide us and keep us. May we always put you first in all of our decisions and always be guided by your word, that we would not stray to the right or to the left, that we would always remain true and faithful. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.